Amen. All right, thank you. We are going to look at our second session. Like I said, I projected we wouldn't be able to do all four. But in our second session, we're going to look at workers. What was the title of our first? Yes, so workers. You had a different title. Workers rooted in faithful service. That's the first one. Now we're going to workers alert, sensitive, and spiritually active at post. Workers alert, sensitive, and spiritually active at post. I believe that this particular teaching will usher us into something that God wants to do for us. You will get to understand why I say so. Workers alert, sensitive, and spiritually active at post. Now, it's very important that as workers or workmen, we need to know who we work for, what He requires of us. So, who we work for. God is a spirit, right? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And because he's talking about the believer over there. But there's going to be some emphasis that I will want us to have as a ministry. So we're talking about workers. What's the title again? Alert. At post. So it's going to be channeled towards post, but aside the post, I also felt like I should give you something. Promise me that you're going to be men and women of God. Just promise me that. Because if you don't promise me that, this teaching, you would have made me just teach it for fun. But I know it's not for fun at all. Yes, and I have to be very intentional about this. So for everything every minister or any minister will want to see in his church, he has to consciously teach it. If I don't teach it, I won't see it. But as I prepared for the meeting, I felt like, thank God, I've been trusting you for this for so long. Now I think I'm going to have this happen in my church too. Now it's already happening actually, but I've always desired a certain intensity. And that's what I'm believing God that we are going to have. So we need to know who we work with. He's not a physical man. He's not physical. That's why, you know, many of the times I tell the Holy Spirit, I say, boy, you're just amazing. You're just amazing. Because many of the times, if you pay attention to it, you almost think there is like a structure in my mind for how things are going to be done. But it doesn't happen like that. I just follow His lead. Like revelation knowledge like this. I get to realize how important it will be for us as we pay attention to it. And then I get to also realize that this teaches also in also a way just comes also right behind that. It's hidden behind that. Because I'm teaching you to believe that God's not received or His word is not received with our logical minds or with our logical reasonings. And I'm also telling you today, and of course, with you know, that God is a spirit. It means that our dealings with God are not going to be of the flesh. The flesh. The things that appeal to us. And many of the times, the problem of believers is that they try to contact God, who is a spirit, with probably their physical mind or their physical senses. But you don't contact God with your physical senses. That's why when you look at someone physically and you say, wow, this person must really be a good person. Or this person must really be a bad person. And we ask you, why? You say, the way I see the person, the way the person does the lipstick. The last person I had that had this lipstick, the person who was really good. You are judging the person based on what you see physically. And you will never experience God in that manner when you look at things just with your physical eyes. Of course, the physical eyes, if trained, can become sources of entrances into the realm of the spirit. But that's not that. When we are talking about looking at this, no, it's not that. So many of the times we try to contact God with our physical senses, but God is not physical. Now, while in fact, you also see that people also try to contact God with their soul. Physical is body. They smell, hear, see. And then they try to contact God in this realm. Well, in fact, he's not God in this realm. In fact, you can't be found. To have contact with God, there's a realm that the believer must become conscious. That's the spirit realm. That's why when you look at things just by looking at them, you are more likely to miss it. When you try to hear God in the physical, you are more likely to miss him. In fact, when it comes to the physical world, you'll be amazed his ruler over the physical world is the devil. He's a ruler over the world. So the devil rules over the world. He's called the God of this world. So he can give opportunities. Because he is God over it. He can give opportunities. He can cause opportunities to show up. Because he is God over it. He can supposedly give good things. Is that what he told Jesus? When he sought after him to tempt him. So he can give you things. He can do that. It's not hard for him to do. Do you think it's hard for him? It's not hard for the devil to give you things. He has connections. His men are in places. Just like God also has men in places. So we try to contact God in the physical. And that's an error. God is a spirit. So we need to know. What kind of God we're dealing with? Is he? You know, when you are swamped over in excess, you now say, Holy Spirit, I bought food for you, Holy Spirit. How many of us have tried that? Holy Spirit, please eat something. You'll be shocked. They are lifting up your hands. You're saying, hey. Who has done that? You'll be shocked. The Bible. Are you bought some? So you buy food and you buy some for the Holy Spirit. You buy a drink, you buy some for the Holy Spirit. He's just saying, oh, the guy really loves me. But I don't eat this. You see, he's not physical. Right? He's not physical. He's not in your physical. I'm not saying he can't have an effect on that. He's not. He's not carnal. He's not natural. He's spiritual. So God is a spirit. So he is contact with this God. I remember one time I was in prayer. I saw a man walk into the room. And he told me, he said, you have been asking me this, you have been praying for this. I'm going to do it, and I'll come to tell you when the thing is done. And he left. And in a few seconds, that was how I was listening. What is it? Angels are not there. Where? It's true. Because if you were, go there, be there, and there. I'll go and do it, and I'll tell you when it's done. And he actually is done. And truly, it is done. So there's a way to go back to God. He's not physical. So when you try to deal with him physically, you are more likely to miss out on his healing. You know, when Gideon had the responsibility of fighting a very fierce battle,
he went in for a huge army. And the Lord said,
I don't need all of these numbers. He said, the people are many. How are we going to fight? But God fought me. So you will be interested to know that this God who serves, you don't make contact with him in the natural. How do you make contact with him? In spirit.
Just takes you a second to get into the spirit.
Get into the spirit. So 2 seconds you can be in the spirit. By faith. Just like every other manifestation happens by faith. You can know what's happening in the spirit just by switching into the Spirit, by faith. So you pray in tongues, you say, you get into the Spirit. You don't
look at something natural to determine the cause of an event.
You can have true access of God by being a natural. In the natural sense, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But in the spirit, it makes sense. That's how you tell it. So we're going to look at who he is. I mean, you will have to know who he is, right? Since we make contact of this God, who is not natural, we're going to have to beware of the spiritual realm. We're going to have to beware of the spiritual realm. Being aware of this realm will make us conscious of how we can access him more than we want. So there are atmospheres. And remember, we're going to be alert. We're going to be sensitive. And we're going to be what? Spiritually active.
You're not going to go, oh, God was here. I didn't know.
Why didn't you know that he was here? You should have known. Just because you were not in tune with what he was doing. Probably you were more in the flesh. Somebody got you angry. Somebody spoke to you in a way you didn't like to be spoken to. Somebody insulted you while you were driving here.
He said, if it was not because it was Sunday, I would have insulted you too.
So you enter into the service. Inactive. Not sensitive. Full of anger, rage. You're already in the service. Cheated. Someone mistakenly just pushes the chair to right. So there are atmospheres, and I'm going to suggest this. Very important. So that we can have real access to what God is doing every time with duties and responsibilities that are required of us. When we gather in smaller groups, we're going to have the consciousness of this in our midst.
Is there a brothel in Accra where prostitutes are?
So they are brothels, right? So when you go, what would you see? You'll see prostitutes. See. You can't go to a brothel and a prostitute says, "Hello, gentlemen. In the name of Jesus. What are you doing there?" You can say, "In the name of Jesus,"
and a brothel.
Took you there. Say, how much do you for your you say thunder fire?
Thunder fire.
They are going to be wondering what is wrong with this guy. I mean, this place, that's what we do. That's what we are known for. One night stands. That's what happens in a brothel. So before you now go to what are you doing there? There's a church. That's where they sent you. I suppose that you stumbled into, I will call it the brother,
I stumbled into a camp of those.
Yes. Those of you who have heard the story, you've heard it before. I went to one. And she was not. I was going to preach to her, and she didn't listen.
No, I was going to preach to her, but I didn't preach to her. And she entered into a car. And I said, "Hey, this is a soul of me."
So I prayed. I said, "Lord, give me another chance so that I can preach to this lady." So she came out of the car angry. I think the
connection or the deal didn't.
It didn't work. So she came out and she blocked the door. I was in tower by then.
It went for some 2 months or 3 months.
She was angry with the driver. She started walking. So I was thinking, okay, let me just follow her. So that by the time she calms down, I will be able to talk to her. We followed. So she walked.
Went past a certain corner. I also passed.
Past a certain corner, I also passed. So I was pulling. So she entered into a place.
Okay, well, maybe that's it. And around
neighbors. So I also pray. Hey,
I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, love them. They thought I was their customers. So, in every door I pass, hey, brother, now me they look for. Looking for you. So I looked at where she was going, and I got there. And I knocked on the door. I was very determined. Maybe now. But back. I was saying, Lord, should be very vigilant.
Careful.
I'll call any of us.
You know what it is?
Go there. So I got into a place. I'm not saying, now who's that? So I started. She said, I should come in.
Yes.
So I entered inside. I saw the other. She just looked at me quietly and she said, so I preached to her. So when I preached to her, when I was done preaching, I said that I feel the Lord wants to say something to her. And she says, okay, she's willing. She thanked me. And I started. Spoke about love and how it's true. When I was done with him, I asked her yesterday, I said, Miriam, where is she? She said, oh, no, I don't know who Miriam is. I said, no. I knew what she said. Mentioned her boyfriend's name, mentioned her, what she was doing before, what she wants to do, how that. So she was open. I invited her to church. She said she was going to come. So the next Sunday, it was on a Saturday. The next day was a Sunday. And she came with another friend. So I walked to her when we came there. I'm going to give her up to the first lecture. And then I met her. And I said, hey, you brought your friend. She said, yes, so my friend said she would come with me. Then I asked her friend, what is your name? And she now said, Miriam. Then I said, you forgot I called her yesterday. She said, okay. Then it became more substantial. They believed the more. We went to church, handed it over to the pastor. But I'm just trying to say that there was an atmosphere in that place. There's an atmosphere. So what you will contact in those environments is what we call lust. It's not, there's an atmosphere created in that place that communicates something, a reality. So when you go to a brother, or you go to a place where there are prostitutes, by the grace of God, you win many prostitutes. They are also born. They will be born again, I mean. Some of them are actually born again. They will be born again. They will win many for Jesus. So when you go to the bar, what are you going to find? Alcoholics or drunkards, people who drink, except those who are witness. Those who are doing other things. But primarily, we're going to find friends of the drunkards in the sports. Yes. And they also have cheap drunkards. When you go to preach the word of God, there's somebody who tells the drunkard, let's listen. If he doesn't listen, nobody's listening to you. Yes, they have cheap, they have respect for their cheap. He drinks more than all of them. Drinks more than all of them. He buys drinks for all of them. When you go to the bar, you're more likely to have drunk.
What will be communicated to you is, you know, that sense or that spirit of drunkenness.
There are other ways to solve other situations. You know, let's continue. So when you go to the light or light, what are you more like? Books or readers. People who are reading.
You find yourself, people on aeroplane, who are you more likely to have interactions with? Air hostess, pilots, those are people that surround those environments, right? Would you want to have somebody who
rides a bicycle piloting your plane? At the gym,
what are you more like? Bodybuilders, right?
Hospitals.
But when you go to hospital, do you sense sickness?
You can't really tell.
Some of you don't like that particular kind of smell. So you see, there's this atmosphere. When you go to funeral houses and they tell you that sadness is a spirit, like a real funeral house, not a funeral house that they were planning to kill the person. And then they finally succeeded. But the food
and the things they've eaten, the crying has nothing to do.
I said that they brought original crying.
But me, when I saw their faces,
there's something induced.
Red eyes, but you're not a family member. Why are you crying like that?
Family member. But when the person actually means
look, when you enter into that house, you sense sadness, grief. Nobody even needs to come and meet you.
In the atmosphere.
So you see, there are
this atmosphere sets so that we can have contact with what God is doing or whatever it is that's happening. When you go to stadiums, and then they're singing, right? Then it creates a whole atmosphere.
And everybody is excited.
Welcome. You see that they have vuvuzelas.
Ask my mother. I a depressed child.
So I made up my mind that no, I'll watch it. But we're going to be fine. How many of us have been interested in this? You cry.
Then you are only people like
none of you.
No, but I think you have already cried before.
The greatest happiness in your life. So, why are all of these in the stadium is boiling with jubilation?
It's because
there is needed an atmosphere for whatever that needs to take place.
Recently, I got to realize that he says that rulers is an atmosphere, something I never knew. If you catch it, you're done well. That's what he said. I never knew. He said, I don't trust me by rulers. I'm not the one that's saying they are spheres. So places come with certain peculiar atmospheres. Now, God's workman at post will need to know this. He has to be aware of this. And then there are peculiarities. Or let me say, there are virtues that workman will have to exude in that atmosphere. Now, to not be found living according to that which is being produced, or that atmosphere which you're supposed to have, that atmosphere which you're supposed to build up into, you dent what God is doing, or you dent what is happening in that atmosphere. So when you go into any of these places, and you do things that are contrary to what is being done, what you're doing is that you are spoiling the atmosphere. That's why whenever they have parties, sometimes the party organizers will go for some really bad boys, because they create an atmosphere of the place is a bad place. So they are bad boys. Once those boys are there, then it means that the place will be good. The place is bad lives. There are some concerts. You don't need some sort of singers. You need bad singers. So that they can create that impression that there's an atmosphere that everybody here is bad. Many times that's what they are seeking to achieve. So there are. Now, when you come to the church, there are, and God's workman or God's work will have to pay attention to setting this atmosphere, living in that atmosphere. So you're not just going to know that there's an atmosphere. There's a way to set the atmosphere. And there's a way to be present in that presence or in that atmosphere. So in church, there are atmospheres. All churches have the same atmosphere. It's true. There are places you go to. You can sense them more tangibly. You almost know God is here. Don't sleep So there are places you can go. You can almost sense God tangible and strong in the place. Other places, there are no atmosphere. Like there's not a conducive setting of a place where people can have true worship experience, a true word experience. Where their lives are blessed. Many times I look out for that. If not, I believe that ministry cannot be so. I'm not too moved by gifts. Naturally, I'm not moved by a lot of gifts. I see the gift, I love it, I cherish it. But I look out for what that gift. What surrounds the activity of that gift? So I look out. I went somewhere with a group of people, and then boy, I just knew. I said, "This one is good. real to despise. It's too real to despise. It's too real. It's too real. It's too real. And when we even got into the place, the breath, the air in the field was an atmosphere. An atmosphere. And in those places are heightened spiritual activities. Very high. You go there sad and nobody has spoken to you, but it looks like a burden is just lifted. When I, for the first time in a very long time, experienced the fear of God. I'm not talking about this reverential fear, where you're just aware of God. No, not that. Like, it's fearful. In Bishop Anthony, when he was teaching of loyalty and disloyalty, I turned to him and said, this is really scary. I don't know if the people are going to be. And he started to come with people that are disloyal. Even me, I was afraid for disloyalty. Can you imagine? I was afraid for disloyalty.
The word disloyalty,
I was afraid for it. there was fear in the place. I was afraid. I'm not lying to you. And that fear. It causes you to be afraid of God and to be afraid of what is being spoken about.
Yes.
I was so much. I'm not going to lie to you. I was afraid. Sitting in the chair. Sitting in the chair. And the teaching is, I'm afraid of this loyalty. There's a fear of God. A fear. And you will be afraid of the word of God that comes. I'm telling you that I have sat under the ministry and I think, that one I heard. And he thought, the atmosphere became light. You can almost feel like, I'm going to suspend in the place. I'm going to suspend. I'm going to suspend. I have to suspend. I will suspend. I should suspend. If I don't suspend, something will happen to me. I have to. This is God.
So what do you say?
There's the fear of God in the church. I can't reverence for that. It's fearful. And it's good and fear. You are afraid to do that thing that is being spoken about.
If you see that, Pastor is saying it's like that, but it's not like that. You were not in the spirit. So you don't know what I'm talking about.
So there are atmospheres. There are atmospheres of joy and celebrations. There's joy. Not there, but I'm saying there are atmospheres of joy. I saw miracle in an atmosphere of joy. And I said, this is what I was telling my people. He said that. In the way this man does that, he jumped and he rejoiced. And I remembered that the Lord told me, I think 2 years ago, I told you that. I don't know if you remember. So that we want to see more miracles. It's just to be full of joy. That's a whole thing in abundance. Miracles. Miracles. It was not for me to see it. More joy, more miracles. So I was there. And then, you know, there are actions and broken contracts. All of these are atmospheres. Prayer atmospheres. It's like you don't just need to be a prayer person. Just come to the prayer meeting. You catch something that makes you pray. You will not know where it came from, but that thing makes you pray. It's like when I found myself among some smoking people, I realized my sleep, my composure was the smells of that. It was up until then, I never knew how weed, like real weed, smells. But now, I'm an expert. I know how it really smells. If I enter into any place and it's there, I will know. Because I've come in and out of it like that. It's an atmosphere. Come in and out. So when I smell, I say, those times, there's weed. There's weed. There's weed. There's weed. There's weed. There's weed. No, I don't. There's an atmosphere, but you can't tell. So, people who are going to alert, sensitive, spiritually active, are going to have to recognize this. You have to know it. And more importantly, we have to set that atmosphere. When you're going for a disco, you see the speakers are heavy, everything is, the lightning and everything is set. We don't set lightning and all of those things. We set Holy Ghost atmospheres. What I'm going to teach you is going to be very important. I believe so. Very important for us as a ministry. People will come in and they'll say, there's God here. I didn't need to hear the preacher. I didn't need to hear anybody teach. There was God in that place. And I've already had people come and tell me that. But we want to intensify measures. I've not had less than four people come to tell me that exactly. But we want it in intensity. Those ones, every time you walk in and out, are seasons of refreshing. Seasons of continually refreshed. So they are atmospheres. God's workman at post will need to recognize these atmospheres and know how to set the atmospheres. Let's see someone. Don't be deceived. They are atmospheres. In fact, this is something I really, really love.
Yeah.
I can literally have a count on atmospheres. Count on atmospheres. We'll be cruising in atmospheres. Someone. The atmosphere. I'm just going to teach this so you see how important this is. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So,
can you see that that's an atmosphere?
It's called the counsel of the ungodly. Now, when you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, what are you going to be? Ungodly too. So, an atmosphere set of ungodly people who you are found around and whom you listen to. Is also it's going also to make you what? On God. Not stands in the path of which people? Which people? So there's a path. You'll be walking. Then there's a path. Then on that path,
is going to be what?
Sins. So when you stay long around them, their mentality for walking in sin is also going to rob of you. It's going to rob you. And then you don't have a problem with sin. Doing wrong, you don't have a problem. Fornicating, you don't have a problem with it. You don't have a problem with it. You believe in Jesus Christ, so that's all. You just don't have a problem. No. When you sin, it's a spiritual problem. Thing to do. Because God's work has not allowed us to do that. You don't have any serious check. You don't take anything serious. You talk anyhow to anyone. You don't obey no commandments that govern your heart and your life. You just do anything you need to do at any point in time. You walk in your midst, not because you're a sin. But you can be a sinner. I mean, you can be righteous and still have sins that you do. It doesn't make you unright. So you're going to walk carefully.
Walk carefully.
Walk carefully. Don't play with it. See? When you find yourself amongst people who always do wrong things, just give yourself a matter of time. You will do wrong things too.
It's just a matter of time.
Not sit in the seats of the scum. These are also
an atmosphere
who scorn, make mockery of God and His word and what He's asked you to be. But His delight is what? In the law of the Lord. Now see more. And in His law, He meditates day and what?
Nine.
Is that an atmosphere? So around him, in his mind, will be thoughts that are consistent with God's word and with God's counsel. Or God's counsel. He thinks about it. He speaks about it. He has it plain all around him. Reads it a little here, a little there. Spends time to read it extensively. He creates. More of the times you find men gotten by the word of God every time you have this happen. Now what is going to happen? He shall be like a tree. We're going to see more of that. Planted by the rivers of water. Now what will the rivers of water do? They refresh. That's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere. Because everywhere is not impression. Everywhere is not by the river. How many of you have realized that the air around rivers and water bodies are much different? They're not exactly the same. It's not the same. When you come into a factory center zone, they're not exactly the same. So when you go close to the rivers, there are atmospheres. Some people just like to go to the beach. They just look at the water, the smells. If it's not, there's some beaches that smell bad. That's actually not what I'm talking about. But good beaches. But there's breeze. There's good air. There's an atmosphere hovering all over the place. There's an atmosphere. It's set by the water and it's set by the sand and it's set by everything that is set by. Even the humidity in those places are quite different. The air you breathe is more humid than the dry ones with a lot of chemicals around. Those are also atmospheres. So he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit. You see an atmosphere of fruitfulness. We're going to have things blossom and growing. His leaves. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. He does shall prosper. So if you find yourself in all of these atmospheres, you're going to portray all of the things that they speak about. You find yourself in all of the natural atmospheres. You're also going to have those natural things come out. Brothels. You're also going to have to, you're going to like to have sex.
You can't sleep without sex.
Some of you create atmospheres around you all the time. You have your laptop, 20 plus movies, 22 plus movies. Is there something? I know there's 18 plus. 20
plus, 25 plus.
What's up to what? 18. No, that's 25. 25 is what?
Serious.
But you have all of those things printed on your screen. What you don't know is that you are creating something around you. You allow around you because of what you see. Because of what you see. You're creating that around you. Some of you have Daddy Lumba. Boom. Saint community. You play Saint community small. And you play Daddy Lumba. You say, you know those songs, Pastor, they are not really bad songs. They are just Daddy Lumba.
He was the lover boy at that time.
You have Bob Marley. A few of his tracks that you really love. Bob Marley. 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 Atmospheres. You create a set atmosphere of Rasta. It will not be long. You will see Rasta people. And you say,
I really love.
I'm not saying I don't love Rasta. I love Rasta. But you will have an atmosphere.
People realize
you have a tone. I will say. So you have an atmosphere of. You believe in a certain God. Because they believe in God. You want to add him to Jesus. And you begin to not see what is actually wrong. You know, you're not saying they are wrong. You're saying what they actually believe in is wrong. Or they are bad. And then they give you one wise saying. You say, wow, my pastor has never spoken wisdom like this. Because sometimes they can be very wise, very intuitive. When they go, they are just cruising on cloud nine.
Yes.
Do you know how Bob Marley died?
Died very young.
36 years. He was a good. He was a good footballer. He used to play football. 56 years. He died as a result of cancer. Of the quotes.
Cancer.
He had his music team, his all those things. Powerful people. Who could sing very well. When he had the first went to the hospital and they told him that it was cancer, and he said, hey. And it kept on growing. So they flew him into Germany. And while they went to Germany, they did the test, they realized that they couldn't. And on his way to Miami, he passed away. Some of you don't know who Bob Marley is. You are just here, Bob Marley. He was a very high class. You will not die young in Jesus' name. As you believe, philosophy. He died. Speaking to his son. His last moment. He said, there were just six or so children. Money could not buy him. He was the last person to his father. Money could not buy him. Those of you who are influenced by money, it's also another. Like everything you dream of is money. You see is money. You walk is money. You talk is money. So if you are not having any money conversation, please don't come close to me. It's also another atmosphere. It's also another atmosphere. So, you ought to beware of atmospheres. Whatsoever you do, it shall prosper.
Spiritually, it will prosper.
There's an atmosphere of prosperity that has been set because of the delight in the law of the Lord, which God made day and night. Set and set spirit. Don't have things playing in your room. Some laughs bashing in your room.
You are creating an atmosphere. That's why the broken hearts never seem to heal totally.
Never seems to heal. Because the more it heals, the more you come just to say it's healed. You go back and you try to open. Trying to open that pastor. Why is it? That's what you do when you go out. Expose yourself. Don't go. Don't be up.
Your angels,
they struggle. They struggle. You cause them to see things that they don't want to see.
No, no, no.
The angel comes. Is it not he? Is he not the one that went to church Sunday? And he's here. Angel, it's not easy. We are really working. He's talking to his buddy. Like they are really working. So you see that their atmosphere and
in the church.
I'm teaching you this so that you can use it. Then. And you know, Jesus actually taught us this very quietly in something. I'm going to show it to you. But you would have to actually really pay attention to this. In Luke chapter 22, I'm sure you didn't see it exactly, but it's true, it's fair. Luke 22. Now, we are looking at we're looking at creating atmospheres conducive for the church. That's how you stay alert, sensitive, spiritually active, right? When you create that atmosphere around you. Listen to me. You know, someone can hear this teaching. And he said, why is he teaching something like this? You see what he's saying. In your life. And in the church, by the grace of God. But why is he teaching? Why is he taking time to talk on? This is something not really. No, it doesn't just happen. It's conscious. And what I'm telling you, I'll prove it to you. By research. By someone who was known for having atmospheres. You know, atmospheres are very important. So anytime you set the wrong atmosphere for anything, it doesn't really seem to work well. It doesn't really seem to work well. You set a worship atmosphere for somebody who's going to disco. It doesn't work. They will enter the place and they say, no. Gospel music. Is when they are closing the program, last song. That one you can set the atmosphere and they go. But for them to have that balance there, why do you think they do that? Because they are conscious of that. They want something ginger. There's even an atmosphere for driving. You travel a lot. You know that drivers like certain songs.
Yes.
See that as the song goes. And they are going. So a way to advise a driver who is speedy, who has reggae music on, is to tell him that you should change the song. You should play some place. So the speed is just at that. You know, the car just goes like this. And it's going.
Yeah.
So you can tell him to change the atmosphere. When he changes the atmosphere, he would start to go pretty normal. When you go on long journeys, you see. They put things. If you go on long journeys, you see what I'm talking about. There's some particular songs they will always play on every long journey. I'm telling you. When they start with some smooth, listen. When they hit like 20 minutes after getting out of town, normally 20, 30 minutes gets you out of town, or maybe an hour, depending on the case. Then they switch. Then the cow just pulls. And you know, because the breakers, the cow just pulls.
Setting an atmosphere. Setting an atmosphere.
Bounce. Say, driver, please, can you change the song so that you can be more conscious of what you are doing? So those of you who clean your homes and are good clean, you see that even when you are clean, you need the same atmosphere. And to Kenya, to God we put it on your own.
Da, the washing is going on.
You're on. They're cleaning. Kenya, da, yo. You are cleaning. And you are dancing. You are cleaning. And you are dancing. Why do you think it's so? It's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere for work. It sets a tone to help you work well. Those of you, your mothers will know this atmosphere. When they are washing and cleaning, the whole house is on fire till they are done. And when they are done, they can now lower. Or they can now put it up.
Why? There's an atmosphere.
Jesus, in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke chapter 22. Verse 39, Jesus is showing us how to create atmospheres conducive for the work that God had entrusted him to. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. He was accustomed, means he did it frequently, right? And his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that ye may not enter into what? Temptation. So we see that he went to the mountains, an elevated place. Now, I'm not saying God is in elevated places, but I'm telling you that there's something about mountains that helps with creating conducive atmospheres, helping your mind become more, you know, focused, attached to what's happening. God is everywhere. He's not everywhere the way he is everywhere, in every place. No, he's in some places more. Is tangibly and expressively felt in many other places than some other places. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Yes. That's what I'm saying. If I teach you this thing, you don't
become men of God and women of God. It's not going to help me at all because you make my labor. But I know my labor will not be in vain.
In Luke chapter 9, how many of us would like to go to the mountains? At the last time I left. I thought I will not make it again. But when I got there, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back. I'm telling you the truth, I didn't want to come back. There was this.
Because in the place.
You're hungry, but you are happy over there. It's an atmosphere. When you come down, it's not the same. So Jesus. Will climb up the mountain. And what is he going to be doing? He's going to be praying. Are you listening? Luke 9:28. Listen to me. What I'm teaching you, don't argue with it. Huh? You say, oh, I can stay in my room. Yes, you can stay in your room, but it's not the same. Are you listening? 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things, and he took Peter, James, and John, and went where? Up on the mountain to do what? To pray. So what best atmosphere do we see Jesus move towards? The mountain. He's climbing the mountain. He's going to pray. Are you listening? So I'm not sure you'll be able to go to the mountain on your own. without letting me know that you are going. But just in case you go, it's a good thing. Go to the mountain. Go and spend 5 days. Go and spend 3 days. Go and spend. Normally, you go one day. Because the climbing alone is. When you climb, you won't come down anymore. That's how it is. You'll be so tired. Depends on the mountain. You are just going to go to the mountain. There are no mountains that are cheap. Mountains are mountains. I didn't know that when you are going to the mountain, you shouldn't fast. And I fasted. And I was climbing the mountain. That's when I sat in the seat. I said,
I'm dying.
No, I didn't say I'm dying. I said, no, I didn't say anything. But it was going through my mind. That's it. If I die here, who sent me? And I was not. It was happening to me like very, very much less. Yeah. How will my mother know? Then it occurred to me. My mother has been telling me, she has been telling me. All those things flashed my mind. I was completely hypo. So I was sounded like this. And at the point I said, no, you should let me lie down. Because I think the lying down didn't help. Then I remembered that no, I have bread in my bag. So I said they should check in my bag, they should give me bread. So it's not an easy thing. How many of us have gone to Achia before? None of you. I think we have to go. Yes, we have to go. We have to go. How many of us would like to go? You will not die.
You will die.
It's you climb up your whole time. So when you climb up, and they tell you that you just climb down. You say, no,
at all.
So I climbed, sitting there. I said, wow. Then it occurred to me. I think it's the Holy Spirit. Believe me. The suffering you are suffering is nothing compared to the suffering Jesus suffered for you. Yes. Meanwhile, I was almost hypo. I was maybe fainting into coming back alive. And it occurred to me that Jesus really suffered. So they gave me the bread. I ate the bread. And I now sense that life is coming back. So I climbed up the mountain. There's small ice chest rise. Somebody brings. There's no eating water to bath. So I was there. He won't bath back your back to bath. An atmosphere of God. You know, an atmosphere of God. You know, there are places you go to. You just know God is here. God is here. There are a lot of activities in the place, or a lot of activities that has transpired in the place over many years. And so they sort of live like marks in those areas. Exaggerating. But me, when I go to a room, I look out places like this. This one, I'm now getting a lot more. So wait, just look out. Something that happens. This is just already something that gives access in that space or in that room. Atmospheres of prayer. Atmospheres of prayer. There are certain times you will start more to pray. than some other times. I can tell you. Because
people have prayed to me in those places.
So it becomes more easier. And I don't want to tell you some of the things that happened in Coleman's meeting. That was not told. There were things that were done in those meetings for us to hear of the mighty things that were happening and the sort of atmosphere in that place. You don't believe what I'm telling you. So he went to the mountains to pray, right? Number two, he went to the garden. Or natural retreat centers. Matthew 26:36. Why did he just sleep in there? Matthew 26:36. Are you learning something?
They were sick. I got close to them and I started having conversations with them,
and they were healed. Without praying.
I've not said a prayer. Just yet.
They are already. So in Matthew 26:36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So where did he go with them? Gethsemane, which was a garden.
Their garden. If Jesus went to a garden, don't act like that. Oh, it's up.
Why didn't he just catch the three of them and sit them down and say, in his room? But he took them beyond the door.
So he went to a mountain, he went to a garden, right?
He also visited the wilderness or the deserts. Luke 4 is 1-2. Then Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. Afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. So we see that he went to the wilderness or to the desert, or what we call a secluded or a solitary place,
to fast and to pray.
These are lonely places, devoid of so much activity. It's very important for you as a minister to know this. Are you listening? Lonely places, deserted places, desolate hills, countries. Then he also entered the temples or the synagogues. Luke 19:45. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of what? Thieves." So he expected that they were going to be what? Praying.
So we ought to be prepared for these atmospheres. You know, I want to hear three of you, four of you, five of you, one of you. I realize there's a retreat sense around. We're just going to put a big deal. I'm teaching you something.
Say, oh, Pastor, you said the 90s, 80s, 80s.
50 cities, 120, whatever. I'm just going to a retreat. I'm going to pray. And you go with me. You go alone. Or you go alone.
I can go alone, but you should go with two.
Or three.
Or four. Five.
But we're going to pray.
You're getting there. You don't carry your whole bag there. With Milo.
Milo. Sardine. Then when you do this, you see conflict.
No. Just go with
water.
You can go with water. You will not die, I'm telling you. You won't die. Maybe you can do a touch of honey. Mix.
Or maybe some bread.
In the evening. But do not eat excessively. You are there to experience God in a deeper way.
And you go and you pray.
Is there anything you want me to do? Say, oh, it's time to go for retreat. Please help us all. Hopefully, you go pray for me as well. Manta,
it's very, very important. Something happens that you want to really deal with. Go for a retreat. You want to pray about something? Go for a retreat. Is it what I'm introducing you to it gradually? It's very important. It's not the same everywhere. It's not the same in your room. It's not the same in your room. It's not the same with the people around. Sometimes carry your husband. So we are going for retreats. One day, if it is one day, we are still going to go. 24 hours. 6 in the morning till the following morning. We are not doing anything. We are there for prayer. Going to pray. You see Philo's carrying Sebadis around. Retreats. Healthy retreats. It's good. So that you shoot down things that are probably trying to destroy. And you pray things out that God wants to do. So from this time, everybody goes to retreat. In this church, I should be hearing retreats. Do you understand what I'm saying? Three of you, retreats.
Yeah.
Retreats. So when you finish school, don't go home immediately. Stay in the room. Just pray. Go for it.
So we're going to talk about atmospheres.
These are more personal atmospheres, you see. So did we see Jesus do it? We saw him do it, right?
Amazing.
Your leave days, fix a retreat there. Fix a retreat there. Because this work we do, it's not natural. It's not physical. It's very spiritual. Very, very spiritual. Carry along some fruits. Go and go steal some fruits. Eat fruits to come along. You can be looking at nice and you are looking with your bank full of these things. You'll be looking at nice. You come out and you come out. I never knew.
The bank really does not help that much. I thought bank actually helps, but bank really doesn't help.
You get some answers. Don't use orange. Orange is not good. Acidic.
Banana is not bad at all.
Pear is very good.
Avocado.
Very, very good.
It's very nice. and you are there and you are praying. Before you realize, you see something. God will show you something. He'll talk to you. He'll show you a vision. Say, God told me I should do this. So everybody, fix it in your calendar that you are going to go for retreats. Retreats. Get 3 days. Go for 2 days. Shut. Be a God. Sometimes you're getting. Like Jesus did. You know, he had a lot of people, but still, he was still separate himself. He'd go and pray, and then he would still come back to minister to the people, and he would separate himself, and he would go and pray, and he would still come back to the people. As you do this, your discipleship will begin to work more than it's working now. There are some things that you need to put in place. So there are mountains, they are guarding us. Go and pray. Like Jesus. You are just copying Jesus. Even if you don't understand, just copy. You see that there's something there for you.
Yes, you see that there's something there for you.
You don't understand, but just he went, okay, it's good to go. If he did it, it means there was something significant about it. The Mount of Transfiguration actually happened right on the mountain. It couldn't have happened where people were. We are going to pray for the church. 2 days. 3 days. We're going to be away. It will help you. Sometimes your soul is burdened by a lot of things, distraction. Bitterness, unforgiveness. You need retreats. You need to just go back. Listen to the sermons. Listen to this. Plus, your room, what you playing in your room.
I told someone, I said
when you get in jail, you can set an assignment intentionally. If you have this, just put it, just play music. I'm anointed, just play aloud. Till they beg you. Read aloud. When you get into the place, shout and speak.
Allow for fear.
Instant. Shake. Say, so yes, he has come, so we have to go. So you're going to be in atmosphere. Are you listening? So these are personal. I didn't want to give you the one for the meetings and leave out the personal. For starters, there are several things until in varieties I can show you.
Yes.
Varieties, different varieties of how to create these consciousness. So they are. This is good for starters. Are you listening? Then there are also meetings where we gather. All of us are going to go for retreats. Try and go. You will say please and start. Thing was really good like that. Thing was good. It's really helping. You come back refreshed. You come back refreshed. So to set yourself up, this is a key thing to do. And don't forget, you need to keep at it frequently. don't outgrow it. You need to keep at it frequently. I thought you people said you are workers. Are you not working? Take lead. Take lead. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for the time ahead. Pray for the church. Pray for pastors.
So for meetings, so meeting, there are ways to set these atmospheres.
And we're going to be actually paying attention to maintaining an atmosphere of decency and honor. An atmosphere of decency and honor. You see, an orderly congregation.
You don't just see everybody just moving around, walking around. You just get up and you leave. And you come in.
10, 11, 12, 1, 7, 9. It's not even long.
Is it long? You want to say yes.
It's not long. 7 hours is not long.
You can't hold your urine for 7 hours. You should be able to.
Except that it's a very serious case.
You shouldn't just walk out.
You can't hold sentences. If you are writing some exams, I'm sure you urinate. By the time you urinate, you've urinated almost
everything away.
You need to sit down. No shaking.
In fact, me, when I go for meetings, there's a way I can set my mind to either do anything before or it's very, 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 like a very key emergency. But I can sit in a meeting as long as you want me to be seated. So, there are things that you need to do. Meet. Need to maintain an atmosphere of decency. So you're going to be sensitive, alert, spiritually active, sensitive to what God is doing.
That's why you should be praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues, you must sleep.
There's a power in the spirit comes to the mind and to your eyes as well that prevents sleep. But if you are not praying, you will sleep. In and out of the service.
It's like you go and come. Ah, this person is gone. Okay, now he's back. Okay, now he's gone. Okay, now he's back.
No. You're praying in tongues.
Because you know, whatever is communicated to you is spiritual.
Do you understand?
Spirit.
I mean, you are sitting. I am standing.
Which one is it?
You prefer standing?
Maybe. You prefer standing.
You prefer standing. Someone prefers standing. But
it should tell you that
the way is less means that is more tasking to do. Do you see that?
So you shouldn't sleep.
You shouldn't sleep. So we're going to see how we can create these atmospheres for our meetings. Speaking in tongues is very important. So everybody practice that.
I've spoken about it. So usually you go ahead and do that.
Speak in tongues under your breath while I'm talking to you.
That's creating an atmosphere. An atmosphere to receive all that God has for you
in the words that I communicate to you. Because there are things that as you speak, they will come much more alive. It will come to you much more alive as you speak. It
will come more alive.
Remember, it's revelation.
So everything I'm also going to be saying, it will be revealed to you in a stronger way.
So you speak.
It doesn't matter. The ashes. Men are the men have power. Like people should see you as well, like speaking in tongues. Because you are in the service. You are just maybe, you know, privileged to be outside of this because of activities demanded. So when you meet an usher, see if I even, usher. Give me 10 ushers. Give me 10.
No, I'm not going to give
you 10. You should actually be praying. Right in front of the door. Right on the side of the door. You should be praying in tongues. That's how to create an atmosphere. For receiving. Create an atmosphere. For the environment. To make it conducive enough for what God wants to do. Speaking. There was a time I saw a picture of a Pentecostal church. The guy was on the camera. Beautiful picture. The guy was on the camera like this. And I think you could say that he was on the camera, but he was not on the camera. Yes. I said, that's something exemplary. Something good. That's something exemplary. You know, during the camp meeting, somebody came to me. And the person said, Pastor, something happened. This camp meeting. And I said, what happened? And the person says, I saw signs. Did not find myself hitting a certain mark. She used the word, I tried to really get into the meeting, but I couldn't get into the meeting. And I understood what she was trying to say. So when she said that, I was very, very sad. I was like, because there are also meetings that you would say that they didn't bless you, but blessed somebody tremendously. So I was sad. Then I went back home and I was thinking about it. And I was trying to find out what actually could be wrong with this. You know what the Lord told me? The person actually was distrusted. By an activity that I had put here. So I said, oh, that's true. So then I said, you don't need to look at me. So then I said, in fact, it was from that question I had to have this teaching. Because it's easy to be in the meeting and be distracted by other important things that you need to handle. So while everybody else is praying and getting into the meeting, you sort of are a bit distracted or totally distracted by what you have to do. So I spoke to this person. I said, no, I didn't speak to this person, but I told him. That means that I'll have to teach the workers as well who handle other things to be blessed by the meeting that they came. How will I do what I'm doing? So you can be on the camera. No camera. But you are as much as the meeting as anybody else who is not operating anything. And that's why you need to speak all the time. At the door. The ushers. You shouldn't meet people with smiles. Smiles is good. Right? Or maybe
sure.
That's how it's supposed to be, actually. No, my ushers don't do that. Madam, I told you to sit here. No.
So they find you right there at the door. You're speaking in speaking. That's how it's supposed to be. If you're leading someone right, you're speaking in tongues. You're into the meeting. It's like you are into the meeting. And when you're like that, very difficult for you to be distracted. It's also very difficult for you to not receive what is given to others. Because there are times where we can be busy with many other things. And that begins to actually affect our spiritual growth or our walk with God. And our reception in the meetings that are set to bless us. That's why when you are in a meeting, you have like confidence, press your pain actively. You don't fear God. No, you don't. So you find speaking students. Sounds. Song, minister speaking. Usher speaking. Car park speaking. It's like you'll be amazed of what this does. Like to the meeting. You'll be amazed. Usher speaking. Car park speaking. Whatever. Speaking. Time for collection speaking. Like everybody's just active. Like blowing everywhere. Blowing everywhere. Blowing. Right. And you see, there are certain atmospheres. You must pay attention. There's no time for writing, even though writing is key. You switch from opening up to receiving. Whatever it is that's being said. So sometimes we write. And we overwrite. And we're trying to write while trying to get into what is being said. Then we focus more on writing rather than what is received. In what is dispensed. Because there are things that are caught in these animals. So there are prophecies that come. They are to be written. Yes. There are also some prophecies that come. They are to be caught right there. It will stay with you as though it was written in a book. That normally you wouldn't go back to read again. Say this. But from today it's changing. You are going to read the notes. So they're praying in tongues. They keep on praying in tongues. Basically, praying in tongues. I mean, praying in tongues. You're on it. Somebody's trying to talk to you. That's not the time to talk. That's the time to receive something in the meeting. Some of you in the meeting. Before the meeting. You'll be pressing your phones, laughing, communicating. It's a wrong place to do that. It's a wrong place. You know, atmospheres that are home, right, will require the people to be conscious of the fact that there's God here. And He's here now. And those are holy atmospheres. You do not dent the atmosphere by your activity. Pressing, calling somebody. Church, before church. The whole place is messed up with other, like, unrelated conversations. Why do you think I make them play God's word before we start the meeting? If you are here early, you hear them playing. Why do you think it's so? Because we want to set that heart for you to receive what God has for you in His Word. So there are atmospheres. Are you listening? It is with these atmospheres, I'm telling you, that we can experience God's power as not seen in
many other places. It's how to set these atmospheres. You see that in the meetings, meetings become very easy. Healings become very easy. Because the atmosphere has been set for God to move mind. Rather than chit chatting before the service. You go out, you come back, you go out, you come back. And as I teach these things, I'm going to be addressing things that need to be done. When you sit here, you don't move out. These are workers. So when you sit here, no moving out till the service has closed. So if you know you will not move out, then move out. When you sit here forever, when you glue till the end. Is that okay? And nobody should come until I tell you. Nobody, whether from there, until I say come. Nobody should move from the back to the front. You come and do whatever. Unless it's very, very. You're coming to pick your chat. So that you can go and charge it out. You come and block it outside before you now come and sit in the service quickly. So by the time the service is done, your phone also can be charged 100%. So as I'm teaching, I'll be correcting some of the things that we need to get ourselves into that atmosphere. God is not everywhere the same. He's not everywhere the same. So we need to be conscious of the fact. Do you see that? God's here. God's here. God is here. And I'm going to read something that I had to look. And it was said that in Catherine Coleman's meeting. There was such a presence of the Holy Spirit. How about them? Sense? No. Even before she took the microphone, you didn't need to know anything was happening. Just the atmosphere loses sense. And it was said, the lady, they told, there are some patients that when they start to die, they encourage that you resuscitate them. But she was still. The nurses that looked at her, when she goes, just allow her. So they sat there. She's going. And then and it was said, in her meeting, like in that hospital, they started to smell roses in the room, saturated smell of roses. The smell came down out to the streets, down the houses. She was just a woman. You know why it was so? Because she actually said that on her deathbed, when she died, what she just did was roses. The smell of roses was strong. It was nobody brought her roses. You could smell all over down the streets, flowing down. And amazing miracles happened in the meeting. There was the kind of cancers that disappears in the meeting. Amazing. When they run the x-rays, you see the growth like this. And you see other vessels, you know, coming and making a sign like this. Because of the bow and the rope, it comes and it moves down on the X-ray. And then you come to a coma meeting. And the thing is not there. They do the X-ray and the thing is shrieks like a lion.
Real.
There was a man that followed her everywhere she went. He testifies that he was healed in the meeting. Just all my life, you don't need to pay me. I was dying. I'm going to be testifying. And she didn't even call for it. He told me everywhere I'm going to be there to testify.
Now what you are saying is true. And the healing power of Jesus on your life is right. Because I have been
having your meeting.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to be testifying.
These are atmospheres.
No church will do well if they do not understand.
They will not see the glory of God to a very tangible extent.
It will just be,
you know, it comes in like a light.
So these are
atmospheres. How many of us are going to be conscious of this?
Because you know, when you set the right atmospheres, you can have real experiences with God. And then your church
always becomes, wow, I know once I get to church, I'll have somebody minister to me. I know once I get to church, I'll have somebody pray for me. I know once I get to church, there's this refreshing that it comes to.
I know, you know, the busy day and everything, the week has been very tough, but I know church is something I really have to do.
It changes. I'm telling you. It changes from just being there
to having real experiences.
These were serious. Various types and kinds of cancers. Various types and kinds of illnesses and diseases.
I remember.
A healing, if I can remember,
he was shot right in the eye.
And he survived. But his eye was off. And he was left with a few more days because he had excruciating headache. It was too bad. And then he went to the coma meeting. And right there in the meeting, sometimes it was said she didn't even pray for the sick.
In the worship, new eyes came from nowhere into the socket.
There was a time the man was given some time to die. And his people kept encouraging him that, you know, before he dies, he should have to go to the coma. And he said, yes, it was easy.
So
he took a trip.
In his pain and in his misery, about to die a few days and weeks.
So if I could just be in his home.
When he went to the meeting, the meeting was not holding. So he could wait some extra days for the meeting to hold. But he was very, very confident. Once he gets into the home,
the service started.
He was not healed.
The middle of the service continued.
He was not.
The service was almost on a brink, just about ending.
He was still was.
Then, when the service, almost immediately, a minute or two into the end of the service, come and mention his case, and then declared healing.
And
apparently, he had issues in his bones, metallic platings in his feet. All of those, and they were all found.
It's not there. When we checked, we don't know where the metal melted to. It was not there.
And we're going to be seeing these in our meetings. That's why our hearts need to be very, very much in the right place. Very, 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 very. So I'm going to read to you some of the things that happened before Covenant's meeting. They call it the prayer or the venue preparation. So they were prayer teams.
Actually, I saw this yesterday because I just decided, okay, who had this thing they are looking for? It's a coma. But it's something the Lord actually laid on my heart. For us to pray as a ministry. So I've already set this running.
So they had prayer teams. Before any service, intercessory prayer teams will spend hours, sometimes even days, praying over the venue. They prayed for the people who would attend healings, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Anointed worship, music. Music was crucial for setting the spiritual tone. Holman was very particular about the kind of worship that was paid. Visually classical, reverent music that fostered an atmosphere of holiness and reverence. She worked closely with organist Dino Katonaki and other musicians to maintain this stance.
That's what when I say, don't play it like this.
Play this one. It's not because we don't want to let you enjoy. How many of you realize there was one close Sunday service, close service, and our dear choristers wanted to take us to another level. And I told them, hey, please, not here. Because we are building something that is supposed to be great. That is supposed to be satisfied. So she worked all of these people to maintain the standards. No distractions allowed. Ushers were trained to maintain order and prevent distractions. Holman wanted the environment to be entirely focused on God and the move of the Spirit. When they were sanctified space, sometimes staff would anoint the building or seats with oil, dedicating the space to God in prayer. There are testimonies of staff walking through rows, praying over seats where people should be sitting. So you see, we would think it was just, maybe it just happened because it was coma. But if I didn't tell you these things, you wouldn't have known. And many people actually do not know this. They just believe that God had anointed him, which was true. Definitely. There was that also. There were these preparations that were made. So there were testimonies of staff walking in rows, praying over seats where people will be seated.
I think we keep all these things. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Strict control over service flow. No hype allowed. Coleman avoided emotional manipulation of theater. She would stop music or speaking if she felt it was taking attention from God. She protected the pulpit. Not just anyone could speak or minister. She ensured that the platform was spiritually guarded, free of personal ambition or impurity. Coleman was careful during healing moments. She often waited quietly until she sensed the Spirit moving and would then begin calling out specific healings, which she believed were revealed to her by word of knowledge. Now, this is what happened for a ministry's team. Which is spiritual readiness. Team members, especially those who work with her closely, like the choir members, ushers, and aides, were often asked to lead clean, prayed up lives. Follow up and interview. There was no pressure for donations. She often resisted making money. The focus, believing it could damage the spiritual impact.
So, careful about money. Because
for me, it's for you as well. If I do all of our money, we can have this. And if you also come to church because you want some promotion and some other job offer and some other money, you want some other thing to happen, we can have this. We can have this. We'll have it in just a bit, you know, bits, because we are in for something else, not him. Documentation of healings. When possible, healings were documented and verified later, especially when medical evidence was evidence available. This gave credibility and avoided false claims. Secret or little known practices. They said, while not secrets in an occult sense, the occult is here again. There were behind the scenes practices that were not widely publicized. In addition to venue prayer, Coleman would often walk through an empty hall. So, how much do you think through the hall? To sense if she wants peace or the presence of God. Now listen to this one very quickly. If there was any non-discord among team members or staff, she would sometimes delay or cancel ministry until unity was restored. No fight. Let's close the church. She often spiritually settled in the place and avoid rushing, which she felt could interfere with the spiritual sensitivity. Because I'm very intentional.
Oh, yes, very intentional.
What works for some?
Work.
So you'll be amazed. But at least when you're in the service, you should be praying. Before the service, you should be praying. In fact, before the service, we should even find you like maybe if someone is facing a disease at this time, another is coming here, another is praying. Another is someone is praying in tongues. Someone is praying in tongues. Someone is reading their Bible while praying in spirit. The prayer doesn't have to be loud. Neither does it have to be silent. It can be loud. It can be silent. But there has to be prayer in the atmosphere. Are you listening? So when you come into church, it's not a good time to press your phone. Not a good time. Reply messages you couldn't reply over the week. The preparation of the team and venue was meticulous and prayerful, aimed at creating an atmosphere where God could move freely without distractions or human interference. So, the famous we have been talking about, these were preparations that were made open. There were other silent preparations that we do not know that were made. Of course, you had personal consecration. If we're going to build a strong church, church where it's a church, a real moving church, a church that God is present. I believe God is present. Like it says in Zephaniah. The Lord who is there. So is it this place? The Lord is here. The Lord is there. So you're going to be sensitive, alert, every time. Once the service has not closed, it's not time to let your guards down. Are you listening? Pray before the meeting. sensitive in the meeting. The movements are well calculated. That's it. That's all. You just move. You meet everything. Work yourself out alert, sensitive, spiritually active. No, in some churches, when you go to move, have a move of the Holy Spirit, you will be this one. Prepare for struggle. Because the people are not going to respond.
How can you say?
Some people are not sensitive at all. And when the minister is standing there, the Holy Ghost is going to hear. And you see that guy. Like, I think the Holy Spirit is going to push you.
Show us what you got. Then there's one brother who this man of God, man, he thinks we are going to fall down.
No.
The Holy Ghost is moving. Moving.
Only those who are sensitive, active, alive, will know his movement.
So while I was growing, I'm still growing. Early part of my ministry, in moving and going with the Holy Ghost, I was always. It's like when I see someone involved with the move, I don't like to go to them. You are looking for a hard person, somebody who is not so much involved. Then, as I studied, I got to realize that no, that was the wrong way to minister. You flow with the people whom the Holy Ghost is on. You flow with them. You don't flow with the ones who are not yielded to you. Unless you have special directions. So ever since then, when I get into meetings, I flow with whoever God has flown. Because they are the ones that are yielded. We don't need to show you anything. It's the same with miracles. Sometimes in the miracle ministry, you want to heal everyone. While in fact, not everybody is willing to be healed. It happens.
You are walking into it in Jesus' name.
So it will not be strange any longer. You see that? Okay, take your seats. Let me finish. You see that? Maybe you say, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes be open. And there are maybe five blind people. And one blind eye is open. The Holy Spirit is moving on them. And many times God's hearts are open, filled with faith to receive. Then you find someone say, I can't see. Then the mistake you make is that you, or the mistake I will make, is that I want to open the one who cannot see. Well, in fact, that can happen. But it's easier moving with whoever it is the Holy Spirit is moving. Yeah. Even Jesus, he could do no mighty miracles. He could save his laying hands on people and heal them. He could not do them to the people who were resistant to what he had to bring. So even Jesus, he cannot help. So when you see videos of miracles, say, right now, receive the Holy Ghost. No. It's not that there's a different Holy Ghost in the atmosphere. Because sometimes there's a tangible dose, you know, pushed towards that direction. But only those who are sensitive will receive. Others, you see them standing like this. Still saying, God, help me. Help me. They said the Holy Ghost is moving. You're asking for help. You don't move with him. So you realize that you only find these demonstrations in churches where they are being taught, very tangible and strong. You don't find them in places where they are not taught. Because when you go to do those things, they will not, just a few will be open. But to see it in that mass, the people have to be taught to know the moving of the
Holy Ghost.
Can I think and said some people,
the Holy Ghost were red hot, walk down the street. They will not be able to identify that. Oh, that is the Holy Ghost. So he's walking. And they are still not able to identify. So when you see
only those who are sent. That's why I come back and be there like this.
Then
you find one critic, right?
He's going to sit behind him.
All of these things are fake.
If it's not fake,
the cameraman is directly behind the man of God. Why is it that he's not falling?
No, the cameraman wouldn't fall. Because he's not ready to receive.
He's ready.
He will know the moving of the Holy Ghost. He will sense when he moves.
This is like when somebody says, there's an angel that just moved from here to here. You say, ah, move.
So when you are sensitive,
I feel like, you know, these teachings are going to offer us the Holy Ghost movement.
I
sense something.
Yeah, I sense.
We are getting there. Because
I'm talking about Holy Ghost.
Where the Holy Ghost is giving a gift.
Prophesying, laughter,
and just getting drunk. Let's get drunk and go home.
But if you are not
somebody came to me and the person told me that.
Kneeling down.
And you have been coming to me that I should take position, take care of how I respond.
So yeah, it's good. The Holy Ghost is impressing that with you.
You know, you can be here.
Rejoice.
Then you see something.
Just stunning.
Then you see something.
And you know, normally, it's more like a first response. When one person responds, you see that everybody else begins to respond.
Why?
It's because there was one person that yielded, that caused other people to also see what's going on. So there's always
that one person who is going to yield to what God is doing.
Then others will get a hold on it. Then they'll jump. Then we find out that he's all over the place.
I'm telling you, Holy Ghost meetings.
You see things like depression, things bothering your mind, worrying you, troubling you. You will be amazed
of what happened. You've not experienced it, but we're going to experience it.
That's what I'm teaching.
The teacher will usher in those.
You see people laughing on the floor, everywhere.
And the power of God.
Take it. The people have been to take it. There's actually something that has been given. But if you don't see it, you will not catch it. It's like Elijah. And Elijah.
I'm not a dog.
If you can see me go. That scene. You know there were sons of the prophet who stood behind.
Elijah, do you know they are about to take our master?
Is they told him
that we are about to take our master.
But they didn't know that there was a mantle that was being passed from Elijah to Elijah.
The actual spirit.
And that scene was not his body.
You were there, you were up in my nuts.
They were transactions. God right before me.
Where's the God of Elijah?
Pour out the sins.
Who is this?
Alleluia. I want us to be spiritual. Not just coming to church. We are just enjoying. There has to be that tangible effect in our lives. So these are things that will happen. When you come here talking to sins, I'm talking about before enduring, after service, it's a jolly time. But before enduring, you should be alert to what God is doing. Praying in the Spirit. Decent. No pressing. Postures like kneeling, lifting up hands, lying, nostrils, and coming to that people who move. So these creeds that are designed and get us ready for what God is going to do. So we're going to be willing to assist. Alec. I was in a meeting. I can share with you stories. Okay. And something. Oh, what an atmosphere. Is it not atmosphere using blind eyes open? Easy. Shortly, you see them grow up. No competition. Easy. Or see strange miracles. Many times you don't need to hear anything that's like, what you didn't come in, is gone. It's very loud than any publicity. It's louder than publicity. And that's how the church grows. Yeah, the presence of God is palpable. It causes the church to grow. It causes the church. When the church is very dry and the church is very, you know, not giving to whatever it is that happens. You see that the church does not. But the presence of God in the place causes things to happen. Lives. People. Just relax. Don't. That's what we want. That's what we want. In the place, it's real. It's real. It's not something that is fake. God in his place. The Lord is here. He's here. So in places like this, you see sicknesses disappear. You see burdens. People are sensitive. They know God. They know it when God walks past them. They feel a breeze. It blows. Tangent. You know, when it happens like this, I don't even need to preach. Hot. But you just have things happening and you get to know things supernaturally. The things that are wired
intuitively into your life.
When it is atmosphere, when we set ourselves, when we set ourselves, wherever close up. But these things should get us into something far deeper. Where we begin to have God in a more experiential way. Where the very air that flows in the meeting is anointed, full of God. You can sense it.